If you will, open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians this morning. It is in my heart, has been in my heart this month to emphasize the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the reason for the season. And I'll be honest with you, I don't mind telling you, I love every bit of the lights. I love getting together and eating. I love the fellowship, Christmas music, traditional and regular music, Christian Christmas music. I just love all of it. I just like the Christmas season. And it's been a blessing. Everything's been a blessing to us. And you keep all of our friends who are at home again in prayer. Ask God's blessing on them. We have, Regina's been sick, and Don has the flu, and others. I hadn't got a report from everybody. I know we got a lot going on, but God has really been good to all of us, and we thank the Lord for that. But I have emphasized the Lord Jesus Christ. I wanted to, felt like the Lord wanted me to. And that verse that I read to you so often about the announcement from the angel, "For unto you we bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to unto people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Born unto you, He's a personal Savior. And then we talked about the fact that He was not only a personal Savior, but He was a perfect Savior. He was a sinless sacrifice without spot or blemish. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. People die because of sin, and He had no sin. So why did He die? Being God incarnate in human flesh, how could He die? He could die because He had a human body. The spirit did not die. Just like when you die, your spirit doesn't die. But the body died just as surely as your body did. He didn't swoon. There are some old theologians that say he really wasn't dead. When they got Him in that cool tomb, his blood clotted and He didn't bleed anymore, and He got up and He recovered and died somewhere out in Arabia somewhere. That's foolishness. He said in Revelation, "I'm He that was dead and I'm alive forevermore." Hallelujah. He did die for us. He was a perfect Savior, perfect in every way. And I thank the Lord for it. And then also last week we saw He was a powerful Savior. He's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon Him. In years, Brother Calvin Ramsey has done prison ministry. He's prayed with and led thousands to the Lord. Men who've done things that you would consider unspeakable. I remember well, we had a prison minister in Reedsville, and we had church. I'm telling you, those guys wrote Christian songs, and when they came in there, we had church. They worshiped God. They'd been redeemed. Many of them were serving life sentences for things that you couldn't imagine anybody would do. And I had one man in particular who had really had a life sentence, and miraculously God was going to allow him to get out. And he said, "Preacher, please pray for me." And I said, "I will. Are you glad about getting out?" He said, "Well, I am." But he said, "But I don't know what to do about going back home." And then he went to tell me why he was in prison. I couldn't believe it. He had been on drugs and everything else. And there's an old man in the community that was everybody's friend, ran a general store. And he said, "Me and some guys went in one night and robbed him, and we were high and everything else." And said, "We tied him in a chair, and just before we left, I took an axe and I cut off both of his arms." And he said, I can't imagine. I know it was the devil. But I thought, I just really almost had cold chills. For over 2 years, I'd worshiped with that man. Had no idea. But he's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon Him. And He lists a long list in the New Testament of people who were this and that and the other. And He said, "And such were some of you, but God saved." And I'm telling you right now, for every person the sound of my voice, He's a powerful Savior. There's not one person He cannot save, that He will not save. If you'd call on Him, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But this morning, I want to preach to you on another thought about our Savior, and that is he is a passionate Savior. He's passionate. He is a God of great compassion. The word passion means to suffer. It says in one of the books of the Bible that after His passion, He showed Himself to be alive with many infallible proofs. That is, that He was resurrected. That word passion in that context refers to His sufferings, His sufferings. And when it says He is a compassionate He's compassionate on us. It means that he, calm means with and passion means suffering. He's with us in all of our suffering. When you hurt, he hurts. When you have a need, he feels that need. He knows you, knows all about you, just as your child when they're sick and you wish you could do something, you can't. He's the same way, but he can do something. But he feels your pain. He feels your hurt. He knows the burden of sin. He knows what it would be like if you would allow him to forgive you and give you sin. He knows what it is for you to live through dark nights of heartache and sorrow and regret and sadness and anger and fear. And he knows that if you would but trust him, he could give you a peace of God that passeth all understanding. He knows that, and he wants to save you. He's not willing that any should perish. He is a compassionate Savior. But my thought is this morning, he is a passionate Savior. And that word means intense. He's passionate about some things. You're talking about people who are passionate about their job. They work overtime. They diligently study. It almost consumes them. They are passionate about that. I know people who are passionate about sports or fishing or whatever. And other things. There are people who they have a great passionateness about them for certain things. It means to give intent. It means that you go to an extreme as far as you can, willing to do anything. He's passionate about that. And our Savior is a passionate Savior. He's not willing that any should perish. He loved the church and he died for it. He had such a passion for lost souls. And he said this, I didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom. He set his face like a flint, the Bible said, to go to Calvary. He was passionate about winning people, drawing people to himself and forgiving their sin and making them brand new creatures in Christ Jesus. There was one who was a scribe. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was an executioner of Christians. I personally believe that Saul of Tarsus killed Christians. He is called by some a destroyer, what means a dismemberer. It means that he brutally killed Christians, perhaps even beheading them or cutting off their limbs. Paul said after his conversion, I am chiefest of sinners. He wasn't trying to be Pharisaical. He felt like he was the worst sinner that ever lived. He said, I know that in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. But yet there's not one person in the New Testament nor in church history that was as passionate about serving Christ as was he. He went through shipwreck and tortures and stonings and everything else. He could not be discouraged. He would not stop. He had something inside of him that drove him, that pushed him, and that caused him to keep on in spite of spiritual opposition and physical opposition. He was 3 days and three nights in the ship in a storm. He went hungry and thirsty, and he suffered all kind of thing. He said, I've suffered the loss of all things. I mean, he lost all of his, everything in the past. But he said, all those things I count as nothing, nothing. That I might be in the excellency of Christ. What was it that caused him to keep on going when the Jews were against him, the Romans were against him, and the demons of hell were against him? What was it that kept Paul going? And he said on one occasion, all men have forsaken me, but nevertheless the Lord stood with me. When all of his friends walked out on him, and all those he'd given his life to win to Christ, when they all forsook him, what was it that kept him going? It's in 2 Corinthians and chapter number 5. It is our passionate Savior. Notice what he said in chapter number 5 of the book of 2 Corinthians and look at verse number 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we have judged that if one died for all, then we're all dead. He said, the love of Christ constraineth us. It is the love of Christ that keeps me going. It is the love of Christ that keeps me faithful. It is the love of Christ that keeps me going in physical adversity. When all men forsake me, when my body's mutilated and thrown out of the city and left for dead, when all those things happen, what was it that kept him being faithful? It was the love of Christ. He didn't say my love for Christ because he was like us. He did become weary. He said, I'm not having to be ignorant, brethren, concerning the things that befell me in a certain place. He said, we were pressed beyond measure. He said, I even despaired of life. He went through what things you and I go through. But there was something that kept moving him. It was the love of Christ. Will you bow with me for just a few moments? I want to quickly share with you our passionate Savior. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God would anoint me this morning. Lord, fill me with your Holy Ghost of God. Speak to your people and to the lost in this building and in the media audience. Our Father, we can do nothing without you. We are nothing. But God, I pray that the Holy Ghost of God would speak through me. Our Father, you called me. You put me in the ministry. You've led me these years. And God, yet, even today, I am absolutely nothing unless the Holy Ghost of God chooses to speak through me. God, please speak to somebody's heart today, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Savior was passionate about his pursuit of souls. He kept reaching out and reaching out and reaching out to win people to himself. He was passionate about the Father's will. Nothing was important to him anymore than simply doing the Father's will. In the volume it is written, I came to do thy will, O Lord. He was passionate about that. And he was passionate about his love for me and for you. And Paul experienced that love. Paul knew the love of Christ. And regardless of what happened to him, he never questioned the love of Christ for him. In all that he suffered, he always knew that Christ loved him and he was with him and he kept him. And he wanted everybody to know that. Let me read to you another passage of scripture just quickly, if I can, in the book of Ephesians. And in the book of Ephesians, and notice in chapter 3, if you will, please, I want to begin with verse 13. He said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. Paul's going through imprisonment and beatings and scourgings, and he doesn't want God's people to be discouraged. He said, don't feel bad for me. Don't feel sorry for me. Pray for me. I want you to keep on being faithful to God because all of this is for your glory. For this cause, I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the might of his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and ye being rooted and grounded in love. Paul knew what they needed. They needed to be rooted and grounded in love. What does that mean? Their love for him? Let's read on. Notice, and you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. He said, what you need is to comprehend the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of the love of Christ. When you understand his passion, when you understand his passionate love for you, how much he loves you. And my dear friend, I've been pastoring 57 years. And as I studied through this, I thought about all the things he's done for me in the years gone by. But I never have really been able to fully comprehend, and I'm not yet, his love for me. I don't understand why he hadn't zapped me a long time ago, why he didn't give up on me a long time ago, but his love has not ever changed. It is an everlasting love, and he loves me, and he loves you with a passionate love. It is an active love, for God so loved the world. He moved. He gave his only begotten son. And the Bible said, Christ loved the church and he died for it. He had a passion for us. His love in the first place is a captivating love. Oh, that's what kept Paul going. It was a captivating love. It consumed him. Listen, it's his Christ's love for him that caused him to look to the cross. It was his love for him where he challenged us, look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. He wanted you to keep your eyes on Jesus. Be reminded it was Him who died. He said, "That love of Christ constraineth me. It is a captivating love." And He said, and I think every time I think about how much you love me, I go to Calvary. He died for me. He was willing to come and suffer and die for you. That captivating love, it caused Him, my dear friend, not to want to live for Himself, but to live for Him who died for Him. He died for me, and I want to live for Him. That's what kept Him motivated. It had nothing to do with success or failure, had nothing to do with counting heads or numbers or any kind of work He's established. It was the love of Christ that moved in Him, and it was the love of Christ that was continual in Him. Notice what He said. He said, "The love of Christ constraineth me." He didn't say it's constraineth us. He didn't say He loved me in the past or He loved me in the future. He said it is a present tense thing. Right now, His love constrains me. It's a thing that keeps me going. He loved me when I was in prison. He loved me when I was being stoned. He loved me in all those occasions. He loved me when I preached at Athens. He loved me when I preached in Rome. He loved me when there were successes and when there were failures. He loved me down by the riverside when I led Lydia to the Lord. But it was the love of Christ, it wasn't me. It was the love of Christ that kept pushing me and moving me. It captivated me. It owned me. It motivated me. It was the love of Christ. When you understand how much He loves you, when you understand how much He loves you, it will captivate you. It'll hold you. But not only that, it is the secret that kept Him going, is that Christ loved him, and we thank the Lord for that. There are those who are saved. You've been saved by the grace of God, and yet you have struggles, you have failures, you feel distant from the Lord sometimes. But the reason for that is this: I really believe with all my heart that you're saved, but you're not really satisfied. And you won't ever be really satisfied until you comprehend with all the saints what is the height and the depth and the breadth of His love for us, how much He loves you. If you remember, the devil beat you to death over your failures, but we're not focused on that. With a focus on the love of Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Fear of God, who is a great God. We'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We have to give an account for things in our body, whether they're good or bad. To preach, to come to that place where you have a reverential fear of God or His judgment on you and all of those things. All of those things may make you be more faithful to church if you have a fear of His judgment on you or chastening you. It may make you do other things, but it will not make you love Him. But if you'll understand how much He loves you, the second thing I want to say to you is this: not only is it a captivating love, but it is a changing love. The Bible said we love Him because He first loved us. It's not just the motivation of His love for us, but it is the creating in us love. His love on us, and when we understand how much He loved us, it creates in us a love. The Bible said the Holy Spirit of God came in our heart to shed abroad in our heart the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not for Jesus Christ, but of Him. And when you understand how much He loved you, and the Holy Ghost of God helps you to understand His love for you, it will create in you a love for Him. Oh, listen, that love is what we need. Love endureth all things, the Bible said. You can put up with anything if you understand how much He loves you. He loves you. Oh, God, help us to understand the love of God this morning. It cleanses us. It not only changes us, but it will cleanse us. If you really, really, truly understand how much He loves you, you will not want to do one thing to defile this body that He loved and died for, your heart or your spirit or your emotion. You don't want to do anything for somebody who loves you that much. You don't want to hurt them. You don't want to disobey them. You don't want to defile anything that is theirs. My dear friend, it will cleanse you. If you'll love him like you ought to love him, the Bible said when Paul was talking to the church at Ephesus, it will fill you with the Holy Ghost of God. When you really come to understand the love of Christ and how much he loves you. Now, the carnal man can't understand that. The human heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. But in the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, to help you understand how much he loves you. If you can comprehend with the saints the height, the breadth, the depth, and width of his love that he has toward us, it will change you. It will cleanse you. It will captivate you. It will carry you. You can go through anything. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. You know, whatever happens to you, you may have cancer. You may have great tragedy in your life. But God loves you. The Lord Jesus Christ loves you. And it'll carry you. I remember some years ago, it may have been Billy Graham or somebody, but it made a tremendous impact on me. He said, in all of my lives of ministry, all the people I've known who are great successes in the business world, anything else, I've never been near their deathbed when they said, bring me all of my money, bring me all of my bonds, bring me all of my stock. Not one time. He said, but I have heard them. I want my children. I want my grandchildren. I want somebody that loves me to be around me and help me as I cross the river. And I want to tell you one thing. He'll carry you. The thing that's motivated him and motivated Paul is the passionate love of our Christ for us. It is an extreme. It is an exaggerated. It is a full comprehended love that he loved you. And everything you have in your life that's good came out of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every tragedy and every heartache, he loves you yet. And if you know that, it'll carry you. You need to know it. You need to experience that love. He loved you so much he died that you might have everlasting life. And he wants to love you and let you know it. Will you bow your heads in prayer? He's a passionate Savior. He's never lost his love for you. He says to that church of Laodicea, you've left your first love. He didn't ever tell them, I don't love you anymore. We can leave his love, or we can not love him like we ought to. But he never, ever will not love us. What a blessed thought. He's passionate about his love for you. It's intent. It's fervent. It's real. It is eternal. And this morning, he loved you so much, he died for you. God the Father loved you and gave his Son for you. Have you ever experienced that love? Oh, Brother Billy, he couldn't love me. Oh, there's thousands upon thousands Calvin could tell you about that thought nobody cared and nobody loved them. And then they realized that Jesus loves them. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Red or yellow, black or white, they are precious in his sight. Oh, Jesus loves not just the little children of the world, but he loves you intently, passionately. And he loved you so much, he died for you. And he loves you so much, he'll receive you and save you and give you everlasting life, take you to heaven, have a reserved inheritance there when you get there, and he'll present you faultless before the Father, all because of his passionate love for you. Our Father, I want to thank you for your love for me and for the Lord Jesus, for your love for us, and the Holy Ghost for your love for us. Our Father, I'm like John said, God is love. Our Father, we know you're God of justice and righteousness and holiness. And know, our Father, that your wrath will fall on this earth one day. But for those who look to you and can comprehend that love and surrender their life to you and be captivated by that love and be cleansed by that love and be changed by that love and be carried by that love. God, Paul said, it is the love of Christ, Christ's love for me, that keeps me going. God, help us to do the same thing. Let me say to our friends in the media audience, the radio, Christ loves you. There in your automobile, in your home, or wherever you are. And right now, if you would but call on Him, you can't see Him, but you may feel Him now in the person of the Holy Spirit. If there's a desire in your heart to be saved, He put it there. Natural man doesn't seek the things of God, doesn't want them. But if you have a desire in your heart to be saved, the Holy Ghost of God's done that. He didn't do that to tease you or to tempt you. He did that to save you. But you must respond to the wooing and the calling of the Holy Ghost now. In faith, will you call out to Him? Will you right there in your home or in this building, wherever you are, in your heart, right where you're sitting inside Benson Grove Baptist Church, would you accept that love gift of His Son? Would you accept the love of the Savior who forsook heaven for you, clothed Himself in a human body for you, suffered and bled and died for you, arose for you, and now has sent the Holy Ghost of God to draw you to Him? Will you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved? Call on Him right now, right where you are, and He'll save you. Let's stand together here in the building this morning. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, Brother Levon, if you would please, sing a verse of a song for us. I want to tell you this morning, God loves you. I gave you an invitation last week to come forward, but I again encourage you, maybe on the last Sunday of this year, you want to just come and thank Him for His love. But if you're not saved, would you come and receive that love? I'll be close to the front here. I'll watch for you. If I can help you, pray with you, I'll do that. I invite you to come right now. Just respond. If I have the Holy Ghost, God's leading you. You may be a visitor or a guest. I'm not asking you to join the church. I want you to trust Christ as your Savior and Lord. Would you slip out right now? Would you slip out and come? God's Spirit speaks to your heart. You come this morning. You may be a visitor or a guest. God speaks. You'll not be the first. There are many come around the altar already praying for you, perhaps, thanking God for His love for them. I'm not sure what everybody's praying about, but I know what He'll do for you if you'll trust Christ this morning. Take a step of faith and believe on Lord Jesus Christ, and you can be saved. God bless you, friends. God bless you here around the altar. While we are praying and Brother Levon singing, I'm going to ask you a question. Will you be honest between God and you this morning and yourself? If you're here this morning and you do not know for sure that you're saved, if you don't know if you died today, you'd go to heaven, but you're concerned enough about your never dying soul that you'd say, preacher, would you please just pray for me? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come to you. If you want to talk to me at the close of service, I'll be here. But I would love the opportunity to pray for you particularly this morning. And in the building, I'm looking to my right. If there's anybody here, visitor, or guest, or folk who've been attending for some time, and you say, preacher, I don't know if I'm saved or not, but I want you to pray for me that I know it. Would you raise your hand to my right? I'm looking across the building, right up and right back down. Let me acknowledge it. Anybody in that section? To my left, anybody on this side? If you died right now, you don't know that you'd go to heaven, would you let me pray with you? Our Heavenly Father, this morning, I want to thank you again for our media audience. Thank you for all the friends here in the auditorium. And our Father, I'm asking the Holy Ghost of God to burn in their heart right now the reality of a passionate Savior, how you loved us, what you suffered for us, that love for us calls you to clothe yourself in a human body, calls you to endure suffering, cause you to be thirsty and hungry and tired, cause you to shed your blood that we might be saved. And yet now the Holy Ghost of God, you're seeking and saving that which is lost. God, thank you for your love for us. Help us to comprehend it and appreciate it and live by it. And God, we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' name.